Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. Now, it's Tuesday at 10. A little bit of change of programming. The John and Wayne show, we had a postponed just schedule issue. Not a big deal. We'll be back soon. You ain't got to worry about that. Me and Wayne are freaking legend. Just want to say thank you to that guy. So what we did is we bumped up the show we were going to do later in the week. And so we have one of our countdown episodes today. We're going 77 to 73 on the 2026 49ers roster countdown, just detailing five players per episode, what it is they have done to get to where they are, contract status, how they're going to help the 49ers this year, and, you know, salaries, all that kind of stuff, depth chart, all the ins and outs. And the whole goal of today's show is when you're watching training camp and preseason and all that kind of stuff, what are these guys? Who are these guys? What do they offer? Because some of them always, you know, jump up in surprise. Yeah, they're back into the roster guys, but in 91 rosters where we're, you know, roster spots, you're now down to 77 through 73. So I really do appreciate you guys being with us. Now, before we dive into our five players on today's show, couple more things, and what I just want to see, I'm curious how everybody is doing. Yesterday was rough with the news of the Myles Garrett trade, and some new information has come out. You know, general manager for the Browns, Andrew Berry, he came out and he was adamant, never even took the trade seriously until they included Jared Verse. Just more and more support for the idea of yesterday's show, why the 49ers didn't trade for Myles Garrett. You didn't have a Jared Verse. And just how rare it is to have a rising, budding, you know, third-year player on a rookie contract, you know, back-to-back Pro Bowler to be traded. It doesn't happen often. Also, reigning Defensive Player of the Year players don't get traded. Like, this was a weird trade. You know, I talked about the salary cap yesterday and all those things, but I'm just telling you right now, like, Niners don't have a Jared Verse, especially at the edge position. Don't have it at the defensive tackle position. A cheap player on a rookie deal with 3 years cost controlled. You got 2 years left on Jared Verse's deal plus the fifth-year option. You don't have that. It's just not present on the 49ers roster. So for the people out there just say, man, the Niners should have done. They could have paid more. I don't think that they could. And then I feel like those same exact people, and it's okay if that's you, are like, oh, go trade for Max Crosby. The Raiders don't trade the 49ers. Like, you have to look at everything from all angles. You can go back to the Khalil Mack trade. 49ers offered more than the Bears did, but the Davis family hates the 49ers because they controlled the Bay Area the entire time they were, you know, in Oakland. So, like, there's just, and I get the knee-jerk, angry reaction. I'm still upset about it, and a lot of the emails and DMs I've ever. Anger is low. I'm sure today is going to be a lower show. That's okay. We're going to do our job, which is to inform and to increase the fan experience for those that want it. Not going to be, a blockbuster show with thousands and thousands of views today. It's just not going to be that. And I understood that before we went live, but that's okay. That is our job here. So, you know, if you want, again, just a little bit more, make yourself feel a little bit better about that trade, it's rough to do. It is rough to do. But Rams gave up on a very, very young, very promising star for a six-year-older player and gave up a lot of draft capital. That's kind of where you got to hang your hat. Now, I do have to say thank you to Josh, Ben, and Zach, the executive producers of our roster countdown series. And so what we do every single year, this is our fifth installment of this, where we rank every player 1 through 91 on most importance to the 2026 season only. We compile all four of those lists. You know, the lower the number, the higher the rank. so on and so forth, and we just climbed through them. And so, again, this doesn't have to do so much with future years or any of that. It's just who impacts this season, 2026, the most. That is where it is, and that is what we're doing today. What's up, Steve? Appreciate you, man. Hashtag CC. The new position has me missing shows, but it's a blessing. Congrats, man. Whenever you told us you were going in for that interview, I love that you got it, man. You are the freaking man, Steve. What's up, Filthy Casual? Appreciate you, man. Yeah, Rams flunked 2026, 2027 first rounders. Yeah, they don't make first round picks. And when they do, they trade them. It's just what it is. So, all right, let's get to number 77 on the 2026 49ers roster countdown. High upside. Priority free agent wide receiver Wesley Grimes. Going to be very, very honest, was not one of the guys that I graded in my 240 plus players for the 2026 draft class. But man, the more I dived into the tape and the traits, it was just like, all right. So, you know, I elite 10-yard split, one of the best in this entire draft class for wide receivers. Great agility, three cones off the charts, great size, 6'2", 193. Returner upside that could help in the wide receiver room. And I'm going to be very honest with you. This is somebody that, man, I watched the tape and I was like, all right, maybe that's just a good game. Let's go find another game. Go watch the next tape. I'm like, damn, I'm having a hard time seeing why Wesley Grimes did what he did. And I kept going back to this. Lack of production. Whenever he is on, he is on. The consistency and lack of production is why he was a priority free agent. 6'2", 193, he's 23 years old. Wesley Grimes went to Wake Forest. He was there for a few years, transferred to North Carolina State. The Wolfpack was there for a few years. Again, production was never elite. But if you want to watch highlights and you see the athletic profile, speed, change of direction, and it's just like, damn, Wesley Grimes has something. Can that be brought out by the 49ers for a consistent whatever? Because this dude has returner upside. And that is the pathway. Yeah, we'll go through the wide receiver depth chart. The kind of top four, top five wide receiver spots are locked, but the returner spots are open. Wesley Grimes has a hat in the ring, and whoever wins that, you better be able to bring, you know, a little bit of wide receiver help as well. Wesley Grimes does that, whereas we look at some of the other, you know, Junior Bergen does not. He didn't bring anything to the wide receiver room whatsoever. It was a complete waste of draft pick. Hopefully he picks up, but whatever. That's why I have Wesley Grimes way ahead of Junior Bergen. Born and raised in Raleigh, North Carolina. Went to Millbrook High School. Unstoppable in high school. Finished with the record for single season receiving yards. Wesley Grimes had 1,594 receiving yards in one season in high school. For his career, he finished with 2,800, still an all-time record there. Baseball standout as well. He's a burner. He ran a 4.35, 1.49 10-yard split. And I know, like, we're a little bit out of draft metrics. That's one of the best for any wide receiver in this draft class. I think it's third best. He's 6'2", 193. He's a big old boy. And so then it's like, okay, this is your stereotypical tall, skinny, straight line speed guy. Nope. Had a 6'8", 3-cone. Like, the metrics that Wesley Grimes puts out there, it's just like, what? This is crazy. And then you turn on the tape, and it's the athleticism is there. You see it on routes. You see elite separation. You see him stacking corners vertically. You see him blowing past safeties. You see this. Stretches the field very, very well. Contested catches are good. It's just, he disappears. And it's not like he's out there running bad routes. It's just like, man, why is he not a focal point of the offense? I don't understand. Just didn't produce consistently. Returner slash gadget player with X side, with upside. He could be an X. Outside wide, like, he could be an X. Very long road to get to that point. But the profile and the skill set and the way he plays, it is there. The contested catches were probably the biggest surprise to me. He's tough. He'll go over the middle. Win the returner role, and who knows what's next for Wesley Grimes. That is the path. And I want to be very honest. I am cheering for Wesley Grimes to get out there and be that guy. I want him to get out there and be that guy. I want him to win the returner role. I really, really do. I think the upside is way more than a lot of the wide receivers he's competing with. You know, Will Pauling, Colton Dowell, Junior Bergen, those back into the roster guys. Wesley Grimes is way higher than those guys. Way higher. Now, you just kind of look at his contract, minimum deal, no guarantees. That's the negative of Wesley Grimes. He was not a coveted spot, but the 49ers brought in five wide receivers this offseason. He was one of them. And you look at that depth chart, Mike Evans, Ricky Pearsall, Christian Kirk, DeJon Stribling, Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing, DeMarcus Robinson, Malik Turner, Wesley Grimes, Junior Bergen, Will Pauling. There's 12. They got 12 wide receivers fighting for six spots. You're going to put somebody on practice squad, and maybe that's the way Wesley Grimes kind of makes it on this roster. Probably not going to make the 53, but, man, I want Wesley Grimes to make – I really do want him to win this returning game role. The upside is there with a lot of those dudes. I just think that that is a big deal. And, you know, had somebody here asking about the injury history, no significant injury history. It's just he didn't put up and produce consistently. Just didn't do it. And I really, really do like that guy. I'm just telling you right now. So number 77 on the 2026 49ers roster countdown, priority free agent Wesley Grimes. I like him. Yeah, bro, Grimes can play. Yes, Brian. And that was the thing. Like, I kept watching the tape, just thinking, like, all right, why not? The answer for why he can is there. Speed, change of direction, burst, size, hands. Why not? Why not Wesley Grimes? Consistency and production. Yeah, that coaching staff should have got him damn ball way more. Should have had way more targets. Way more. That's number 77. Number 76, a familiar name. One of the most familiar names. This is the 1, 2, 3, 4th year on the 49ers roster countdown for Jalen Graham, linebacker. And, man, it's been the journey. His rookie year, he was 65. Thought he was going to take a jump the next year. He was 45. Then fell down to 66 last year. Now he's down to 76. And so you kind of see, oh, there's some hope. Yeah. And now Jalen Graham's turned into practice squad guy, scout team guy that can give quality reps to the starting offense, and a special teamer. That's just what he is. Wears jersey number 41 currently, 6'2", 220, undersized, small, hybrid player, played star role at Purdue. Kind of weird looking back now because he was at Purdue for his entire college career. That's non-existent anymore. He's 25 years old, still very, very young, grew up in Michigan. Jalen Graham went to Cass Tech High School, played defensive back in high school, ended his career as a three-star prospect, committed to Purdue, and just was like the MVP of that defense for several years. His game is majorly instincts and just understanding what to do. Now, his athletic profile is very, very good. Ran a 4.6. You like a little bit more speed, but not bad. He has good arm length. He is undersized, but that's the Robert Saleh kind of mold. Just struggled to see real action for the 49ers. Just cannot get in the starting lineup. And this practice squad kind of Adam, but he was with Adam Peters and the Commanders, left here when Adam Peters went there, but then came back. And he's been in the 49ers practice squad almost all last year. He was drafted in 2023 in the 7th round, 255th overall. What's funny is the 49ers got three players in that 7th round, all within 8 spots. Braden Willis, Ronnie Bell, Jalen Graham, all picked within 8 spots of each other. None of them have really panned out. All three are still in the NFL, though. I know the 49ers get a lot of flack for the quote-unquote bad drafting. The one thing that I think is probably most impressive whenever I go back and look at just what the 49ers have accomplished in their draft picks is how many of these players are still in the NFL. Yeah, Ronnie Bell was terrible. Still playing in the NFL. Braden Willis still on the 49ers roster. Jalen Graham still on the 49ers roster. Is the upside there for any of those players? No. but they're there. Jalen Graham has played in 15 games in his career. That's the negative. Will he be able to make the 53? I do not believe so. I don't think anybody's fighting or, you know, trying to claim Jalen Graham off waivers, but he knows the system. He knows all the linebacker spots. He knows the special teams. He's a locker room guy. That's what Jalen Graham brings to the team. He's on a one-year, $1.1 million deal with no guarantees. $1.8 million career earnings. Love that. But the problem is the linebacker room's too deep. And that's why Jalen Graham is number 76. You go through the line, but you might keep five, maybe. Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Tatum Bethune, Luke Gifford, special teams lock, he ain't going nowhere. Nick Martin, Jaden Duggar, Garrett Wallow, Jalen Graham, Larry Worth III. He's eighth out of nine linebackers, might keep five, could keep six, probably not going to keep six. That's where he is, and, you know, with some of these players, we get a little bit of fatigue. This is his fourth year on the countdown, and he just keeps dropping. Yeah, he's a fun player and a cool locker room guy, but it's just hard to see Jalen Graham being a foundational piece of this roster. Just don't see it. Just don't see it. Now, the one thing I do want to see is whenever you guys go to a 49ers game, whether, you know, on the road, we're going to be in Australia, international, Mexico City, international. We have full travel package itineraries up on the 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. If you're going to Seattle, you're going to Atlanta, you're going to Dallas. Got to come party with us. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. It's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs, feel more confident about setting boundaries, create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. All right, let's get to number 75 on the 49ers roster countdown this season. Drake Nugent, third appearance for Drake Nugent, comes in number 75, which is kind of ironic. He was 75 last year, did not move. It is really, really interesting because we don't look at last year to affect this year's rankings. We just rank for 2026 alone. His priority free agent rookie year, he was 66. There was a lot of hype on Drake Nugent. Fell whenever he didn't get promoted, and now he's in his third season. And then you look at the addition of Carver Willis, who they see could eventually play center. You look at the addition of Brett Toth, and probably going to win that backup center role if you look at how much he got paid. Drake Nugent offers something at that center-only position. He does not have the athleticism or size to play guard. He's 6'1", 298. Very, very small. Very, very small. And doesn't have the elite athleticism even that Jake Brendel has. The goal for Drake Nugent was always Jake Brendel's career trajectory, where Jake Brendel bounced around on practice squads for about 4 years, just followed Chris Forster wherever he went, eventually won the job because of an early retirement from Alex Mack, and then just didn't look back. He looks back during the play. Probably should have said that. That's okay. Let's talk about Drake Nugent. 25 years old. Still, you know, these COVID guys that came out and were influenced by that, a lot of the 49ers rookies this year are 25 years old. So Drake Nugent, I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't have a shot, but it's rough to see the impact this year. It's rough to see the impact next year. He's going to be battling for Carver Willis for that spot as well. Now, went to Stanford, then transferred to Michigan, won a national championship there in 2023. That was the last Harbaugh year. He's from Highland Ranch High School. His dad, Terry, played for Colorado State and was a sixth-round pick by the Browns. His uncle, Nerian, played football at Washington State. Drake Nugent played both offense, defense. He was a three-time shot put champion. I love people that compete. I love people that compete. If you have a kid that has any desire to ever be a pro sport athlete at any level, any sport, multiple sports is key. Specialization is not in the added interest of your own kid. And I used to say this whenever I coached. Anybody telling your kid that he should focus on this one sport does not have your kid's best interest in mind. They have their own. Now, it's different if you've been given a full-on, full-ride scholarship and NIL bonus and all that stuff. Once you're at that stage, yes, you don't need to be playing basketball, baseball, football. If that's a passion, cool. Yes, then it's time for specialization. But I'm telling you right now, the best thing for people and anybody that wants to increase their athleticism, compete in any way, shape, or form you can, especially at the middle school and high school level. You got a full ride? All right. Then it's time to specialize. Till then, chill out. Drake Nugent, three-time shot put champion. I love seeing that stuff. Played for Stanford, transferred to Michigan. Spent all of last year on the 49ers practice squad. Again, the depth there, that's rough. That's rough. He's going into his third season, hasn't seen any playing time. None. He gets, you know, a lot of work in the preseason, but it's just rough seeing a 6'1 center without the athleticism and the movement and the run game. He's just a stalemate blocker through and through. Doesn't get movement. And so the weaknesses of Jake Brendel's game, he doesn't even highlight or, you know, offer a counterproductive. He's not going to help the run game, just like Jake Brendel, but he's not as good a pass protector. That's rough. He's on a one-year, $885,000 deal. No guarantees. He's made $680,000 career earnings. And again, it's Jake Brendel, Brett Toth, Drake Nugent. And I would argue, because this is 2026 only, Carver Willis is going to interject himself in this race at some point. John Forster believes rookie linemen need to learn how to play guard first before they play center in his scheme. Got to learn to play guard, then you learn center. Carver Willis is going to learn guard first. A lot of people are saying Carver Willis is going to win that left guard spot. I am not one of those. Would be very, very happy if he did. I think it's going to be Connor Colby or Robert Jones. But eventually, Carver Willis, his spot will be at the center position. Make no mistake. That's just where it's going to be. Want to say thank you to all the people that have the hashtag CCs. You guys are awesome. Love it, love it, love it. Brian, he's got a sturdiness and strength Brendel lacks. Yes, that is very, very true. Jake Brendel, play strength is non-existent. He is very athletic. He moves so well in space. One of the most athletic centers of the NFL. Undersized, similar size to Drake Nugent. Drake Nugent's slow. He is very heavy plotter, very heavy footed. But the problem with that is he doesn't get movement in the run game. Usually those lower body, lower center of gravity kind of, you know, bulldog centers like Zach Frazier, one of my favorite players coming out of the draft recently, now probably the second best center in the NFL, whatever. Those guys, those under-leveraged guys, usually get a lot of movement in the run game. That's a problem with Drake Nugent. Even whenever he's with Michigan, he gets to his guy and then just stalemates it. He's a guard post. There's value in that, but it's rough whenever you don't have the athleticism for this scheme. It's just, there's a reason why he's a priority free agent and nobody has claimed him off the 49ers practice squad. But he does have the sturdiness. He does have the strength. He just doesn't get the movement. Appreciate you, Farscape. He says, loving these live countdowns. Yeah, this is new for us. In the past, you know, we always did one episode per player. And I would record it off air, then load it after the fact. But we're trying to get a little more efficient here. Doing 91 episodes was just a killer. it was a killer. And this offseason is a killer as well. We're looking for new places to move in the Bay Area. We're helping our kiddo who just graduated, moved to Texas. It's the 20th anniversary. We got a lot of stuff going on this offseason. Mostly good things. But it's a lot. So the 5-episode live countdown, and we'll see. But right now, you know, what are we, like 3 episodes, 4 episodes in? I'm feeling it, man. One, just because of you guys. It's nice to have a little back and forth. That is huge. And Brian, yeah, not a zone blocking guy, Drake Nugent. Really, really not. It's interesting they went with him to try to convert him into that. It just hasn't really happened. Ooh, Weber, Brock Purdy MVP season loading. That would be badass. That would be awesome. All right, number 74 on the 49ers roster countdown, and kind of a weird one. Former top 10 overall pick, Eli Apple, cornerback, 30 years old. He has been in the league since 2016. Eli Apple was drafted when Kyle Shanahan wasn't even on the 49ers. He was still in Atlanta. Wears jersey number 30, 61203. Weird guy, man. A very polarizing NFL prospect. Pissed a lot of people off everywhere he went. Just weird cat. Weird cat. But the athleticism, the profile, 6'1", 203. Born and raised in Philly. You know, Apple went to Eastern Regional High School. Was exceptional talent at the high school level. He goes to Ohio State. Top 10 draft pick of the 2016 draft. Just hasn't lived up to that pick. But this dude's played the NFL for 11 years. You can say whatever you want about Eli Apple. 11 years in the NFL at the cornerback position is rare. Corners fall off quick. When they lose that step, when they lose that speed, it's over. Eli Apple ran a 4.4 at the combine, and he's still out there competing, whatever. The 49ers called him up several times last year. He was added in the middle of the year. Now, you go back to whenever he was drafted. He was drafted 10th overall in the first round by the Giants in 2016. Drafted ahead of Laremy Tunsil, Ryan Kelly, Kenny Clark. Not worth the top 10 selection, obviously. You know, you look back and it's amazing he's played. But the pick right after him was Vernon Hargraves, one of the biggest busts in the past, 11 years. Probably one of the biggest busts in that draft class for sure. But dude's played 11 years, 104 games, 82 starts, 6 career interceptions, 61 pass breakups. That is what he sells. That's the best part of his game. Talks a lot of trash. It's kind of hard to talk trash on practice squads and getting elevated and all that stuff at this point. But he's played for, what's he on? 7 teams? Giants, Saints, Panthers, Bengals, Dolphins, Chargers, now Niners. He's just been a team hopper of late, but he's collected that money. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And you look at what he did last year. He played 15 snaps for the 49ers. That's it. He's on a one-year, $1.3 million deal, no guarantees. He has $25.5 million career earning. He's made some money. But you look at the cornerback depth chart, D'Amador Lenore, Renardo Green, Upton Stout, Fijians Prysock, Nate Hobbs, Darrell Luter, Jack Jones, Jacob Robinson, Eli Apple. It's hard to get excited about the upside of a 30-year-old journeyman corner that seems to be on his way out, but 49ers elevated him several times last year over a lot of other corners that were young and promising. If there was an injury to at the cornerback position, would they go back? I don't know. And yeah, right here, Brian says, yeah. He says, LOL, Eli Apple should have been a lot lower. He was elevated over a lot of these guys. He's our last corner in the rankings on the depth chart. But man, again, going back to this idea, usually you keep 5 to 6 corners. There's only 9 corners on this roster. And the 49ers elevated him last year. Yeah, I'm not the biggest Eli Apple guy either. But it's pretty hard to disagree with somebody with that type of pedigree, experience, and athletic profile that's there. I'm not an Eli Apple guy. I'm really, really not. I would much rather have a younger, more upside guy there. But this is a very young corner depth chart. It just really, really is. Demo young, Renardo Green young, Upton Stout young, Fijian Prysock young, Darrell Luter young, Jacob Robinson young. And, you know, you always like to have some of your like kind of bulldogs, nasty guys in the DB corner room. It's just the way it works. Jack Jones and Eli Apple are not quite the mentors I want with my young guys. I'm sorry. They're just not. like you can dive into those guys off the field antics and whatever else. It's quite interesting with the Niners kind of philosophy of just building guys that love football and stay, you know, out of off field drama. And then yet you have Eli Apple and Jack Jones in the same position group. Man, spend some time and look up. We'll get to Jack Jones at a later date. But yeah, Eli Apple, I'm pretty sure like he is on nobody's Christmas card mailing list of any former NFL teams he's been on. He's a weird cat. He's a weird cat. The Smitty, the Niners are going to trade for a DB. It's not the depth is there. If he should Prysock, I like the Nate Hobbs signing a lot. He gives you that versatility. I think he could play every single DB spot. Jack Jones, similar to that too. The good news about the 49ers corner room is that they brought back everybody from last year. Every single corner they had on the roster last year, they brought back that had any significant playing time. Demo back, Green back, Stout back, Darrell Luter back. Like, those were your four corners. Those were the four. You brought them all back. You want to include Eli Apple and Jacob Robinson in that? Cool. They like the room, and now you're getting quality coaching. Not that you got bad coaching last year, but Jerry Gray coming to the 49ers is so big. I cannot stress this enough, ladies and gentlemen. Cannot. You bring in Raheem Morris, who is a DB coach by nature. You're getting an emphasis at that position, and I expect that to be key. Oh, I'm so pumped about getting quality coaching on the back end. Yeah, Brian. Yeah, good point. Roster pretty thin there. Jack Jones is a new man. I hope so. That old man's crazy. Big Toe, thanks for the super chat, man. If healthy, how can you keep Hobbs off the field? Well, you play three corners: Demo, Renardo Green, Upton Stout. Their upside, way more. Their athletic profile, way more. That doesn't even enter into the argument of Ephesians Prysock. You just spent a fourth round pick on. His traits are crazy. Nate Hobbs, versatility, physicality, experience. That's a pretty big deal. Like, That's a good – and throw in Darrell Luter, who I'm not a Darrell Luter Jr. guy at all. Darrell Luter Jr. was the worst player in training camp last year, but then he gets into the regular season. He played more consistent than Renardo Green did. I want to be honest with you. He really did. So that's a good six. That's not a bad six. It's not a great six, but it's not bad. And we've been apart in the Kyle Shanahan tenure. There's been some really, really, really bad cornerback rooms. I do not consider this a bad cornerback room. I really don't. I don't think it's top five, probably not top 10, but there's not 16 teams better cornerback depth rooms than the 49ers have. And we haven't been able to say that very often. It's been, I don't want to say neglected position. Hasn't been a priority. I like the Nate Hobbs signing, Big Tone. I really, really do. And I think if there is one injury anywhere, Nate Hobbs is kind of the first one off the bench. I wouldn't mind Nate Hobbs taking some safety snaps. Like, Nate Hobbs just is the duct tape glue. You ain't going to miss much. He might even improve at a spot if he gets in there. I really, really like the Nate Hobbs deal. Reese, Apple's best was when he was with the Giants and Saints, and that was a long time ago. Yeah, Niners need to trade for a vet free safety. Dude, they just don't value that position. They just don't value. They don't even draft free safeties. They only draft strong safeties. They don't have any desire. They brought in two safeties, priority free agents, and both of them run 4.6 or 4.7. They just don't care. You had an all-pro safety in Talanoa Funga, and you let him walk. And he goes and makes another first-team all-pro. Should have kept Hufanga, man. I know the injuries are there, and I know a lot of people are like, ah, you had to. I think that was a major miscalculation. It's funny, you know, like in the morning, I got like a just crappy treadmill. I'll just jump on it for like 30 minutes to start my day, and I'll throw on something, whether like if I'm stressed, I put on like walking on the beach videos. I'm a big beach guy, but like otherwise I'm watching like 49ers tape, highlights, whatever else. And so I was watching some stupid playlist put together. It was like all the turnovers for the past, like, I don't know, 7 years of the 49ers defense. Every other play was Talanoa Hufanga. Every other play. Yeah, that was this morning. I'm just like, God bless, man. I know he wasn't perfect, but that dude changed everything. He changed everything. He could do everything. And he was a strong safety too, but the interchangeable safeties with the jet sweeps and all the motions and all that stuff changes. Niners have missed that dude, 29, whether he's been injured or he's been gone. That's rough. Big Toad, 49ers should trade for Max Crosby, something cheaper for the Raiders. Ain't trading Max Crosby to 49ers, no matter what. Whether they should or they shouldn't, I don't think that they're even interested. They want to see what they have in room. Raiders ain't trading them here. Again, remember, they offered more for Khalil Mack than the Bears did. Not even interested. They're not trading them here. Big Brick, John, what do you think about giving Prysock a shot at free safety? He has the build, the range, the length, plus would counter his worst trait, getting flagged a lot in coverage at the line of scrimmage. The 49ers value corner so much more than free safety. The Niners do not give a crap about the free safety position. They have spent zero draft capital, in-season capital, salary cap capital. They don't do it. They don't care. They don't care. Corner, and I do believe this as well, you fail them at corner to see at safety. And so outside corner is more valuable than slot. Slot corner is more valuable than free. Free safety is more valuable than strong. But the 49ers usually do a dual safety look where they're interchangeable. It's just what they do. Whether we agree or disagree with that, we'll have to see. Maybe that changes with Jerry Gray and Raheem Morris. But you got to fail Prysock at safety. I'm sorry, at corner before you send him to safety. And maybe that's where he eventually ends up. And there is a possibility he could play that role. No doubt. I agree with you, Big Brick. I think that is there. But got to start him at corner first. It's just too valuable. That's what you drafted for him, because there's going to be changeover in that room next year. Reese, Sock reminds me of Hanks with that long neck. Oh, a little bit. Oh, I love me some Merton Hanks. Big Tone, he's a two-time All-Pro. Yeah, I don't know if you're talking about Hufanga or you're talking about Crosby or both. They're both two-time All-Pros, I believe. Yeah, this is not an anti-Max Crosby take. This is an anti-Davis family take with the 49ers. That's what it is. And, you know, that you're betting on the defensive end pass rush room. You've got Bosa. You've got Mikel. You've got Romello. You've got Samo. You've got Keon White. That's not a bad defensive end room. In fact, I would argue that's a pretty damn good defensive end room. Got to see how they all respond from injuries. But then you look at their salary cap again. Remember, the 49ers are negative salary cap space the next two seasons right now. That's without adding anybody. The whole show yesterday was all about that and what that means. I'm not against adding Crosby. I'm not trading two firsts for him. I'm just not doing that. Just not doing that. Jesse Bates out there, go get him. I'd love that. I would love that. Brian, playing zone coverage with zero pass rush and just hanging out your secondary to dry. Yeah, I think it's been fixed a lot by the personnel and the injuries. And Robert Saleh is not the biggest pass rush guy. I know he can say all gas, no breaks, but you look at his sack totals everywhere he's been. Outside of 2019, really wasn't, you know, whatever. Last year was rough, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, one more. Number 73 on the 49ers roster count, Adrian Martinez. We're getting into the quarterback position. And I know he was with the 49ers last year, but he wasn't added until August last year. So he didn't make our countdown. So we didn't get to get the full breakdown nitty-gritties. So excited about this one. Where's jersey number 4? It seems like every backup or third-string quarterback in the history of the 49ers organization wears jersey number 4. 6'2", 220. Decent size, speed. He's athletic. 26 years old, young. Another Stanford guy. We just keep talking about these California kids. I like that. Then he went to Kansas State. Born and raised in Hanford, California. Played football, basketball in high school. Solid high school career. 4-star ranking. Committed to Nebraska. Then Kansas. Then Stanford. Then, you know, he's just bounced around. Went undrafted in 2023, but did sign with the UFL. This is fun. UFL, I love it. I don't watch as much as I should. Exploded. Was the MVP of the league. Won the championship for the UFL. Was the MVP of the championship game. He was awesome there. So, like, you count that as experience. It's not the NFL. But you saw how he could compete against other, don't want to say top tier, quality tier athletes. Played for 3 NFL teams. He was with the Lions, the Jets, and the 49ers. Played for the, you know, he was with the Jets twice last year and the 49ers twice last year. He's a bounce around third, fourth quarterback. He's the fourth quarterback right now on the roster. We got to see. Probably one of the coolest moments last year. Mac Jones pulling himself out of the game to allow Adrian Martinez to get in and take a snap for the kneel down, which was really, really cool. Shout out to Mac Jones. How you won over all the 49ers fans is just awesome, man. Such a cool kid. But Adrian Martinez ran a 4.55, really fast, dual threat guy. And you look at like his UFL career, a little under 50%. He's not an accurate passer. 1,700 pass yards, 15 touchdowns, 500 rush yards. This idea of a dual threat quarterback that you're hoping increases his anticipation throwing and his accuracy doesn't get a lot of reps. But it is always huge to have a dual threat quarterback on your roster because, one, it gives scout team a really good look when you're playing mobile quarterbacks, which the NFL is peppered with those. So having Adrian Martinez go be the Kyler Murray, go be, you know, fill in the blank. Lamar Jackson, he's not those guys. He's not, obviously. But you need to have that look. He brings that. Also, it's huge to have your emergency third or fourth quarterback to be mobile because they don't get reps with the team and they can protect themselves a little bit more because they're not going to be on pace if thrown in an emergency situation. Adrian Martinez, great locker room guy, teammate. Expressed multiple teammates last year have talked about just how great Adrian Martinez has been throughout training camp, preseason, just what he brings. Did have a torn labrum in college, but nothing has really affected him in his time in the NFL. He's on a one-year, $1 million deal with no guarantees. He's at the back of the pecking order. He has $880,000 career earnings. Will hit $1 million this year if he's on a roster somewhere. You look at the depth chart. Brock Purdy, Mac Jones, Curtis Rourke, Adrian Martinez. This is a battle, Adrian Martinez versus Curtis Rourke. You know, the 49ers spent a seventh-round pick on Curtis Rourke coming off the ACL injury, sat him for a year, redshirted him. Now it's a competition. Who's going to be number three? And this is a very, very big battle. This is Mac Jones' last year on the 49ers. I don't care what any podcaster tells you. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It happens a lot. You ain't signing Mac Jones to a long-term deal. I just do not see that taking place. It'd be awesome. I just don't see it happening. Curtis Rourke, Adrian Martinez, whoever wins this battle, has the inside track to being the backup quarterback in the future. This is a 2026 countdown. That doesn't affect the rankings here. That's why Adrian Martinez is 73. But like, let's realistically look at this. Is there a 30% chance that Adrian Martinez beats Curtis Rourke? 20% chance? That's a 20 to 30% chance he's the number two quarterback next year. This is a very, very big battle that will have lasting implications for the 49ers. What if the 49ers do get an ungodly, crazy trade for Mac Jones in season? Some other team's starting quarterback goes down in the first or second month of the season before the trade deadline. Somebody pays crazy draft capital or whatever for Mac Jones. If Curtis Rourke or Adrian Martinez play well enough to prove to Kyle Shanahan, hey, we can step in and go 500 with this team, with Curtis Rourke or Adrian Martinez, that just gives you so much more. I'm not saying that's what I want. We've seen crazier things. Adrian Martinez is a very, very fun player, and he offers something none of the other quarterbacks offer in that room, and that's the mobility, the dual threat. Now, Brock Purdy has a lot of mobility, and Brock Purdy can move and scoot and all that stuff. Adrian Martinez is a much better athlete than Brock Purdy is. Brock Purdy has that burst, and yeah, he can move. Adrian Martinez is an athlete whenever it comes to running with the football. It's just there. It is just there. No doubt about that. Oh, look at that. Wi-Fi. Central Valley produces athletes. I love it. Clovis West High School is senior year, I believe. I think that is correct. I love it. Big Brick. I see Brock and Martinez being very similar types. Mac and Rourke being similar types. I agree. Do you want a mobile backup quarterback or a statue in the pocket? You want somebody that can efficiently operate your offense? Mac does that. Mac Jones, way better than Adrian Martinez, Curtis Rourke. Different types of quarterback. Different types of quarterback, for sure. It's nice to have a guy that doesn't get reps that can move. I do like that aspect of a number three. Howdy. Martinez could be something with the opportunity, but the quarterback depth is just so good. I've said this many times this offseason. I believe the 49ers have the best quarterback depth in the NFL. You got the best number two quarterback. Brock Purdy, wherever the hell you put him, dude has proven he can continue to do it time and time again in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. Even last year's game at Seattle, which was a blowout in the playoffs, Brock Purdy was not bad. That dude was playing by his damn self. By himself. There was one point in the fourth quarter where the dude's pump faking wide open wide receivers because he don't want to throw to Luke Farrell. He don't want to throw wide receivers that ain't catching the ball. You don't want, like, it was just so bad. He was just by himself. He was just by himself. I will say again, the 49ers quarterback depth, better than any team in the NFL. And that's without seeing Curtis Rourke and what he can do, but we've seen Adrian Martinez. He went bad. He's got to develop. He needs time. He's 26. He's 26. Do with that what you will. Smitty, Niners winning the Super Bowl this season, Levi South, I like that. Big Brick, Mac and Rourke are the best trade candidates. Should we need to entertain the notion? Yeah, I have no problem trading either one. You're going to be getting probably a third or a fourth round comp pick when Mac Jones walks. I don't see a huge free agency signing that's going to offset the Mac Jones deal. So, but it's a year delayed. 2027 draft's supposed to be badass. What would it take to get Mac Jones? I've said over and over again, you give me a top 50 pick, I'm trading Mac Jones. Now it kind of dies down a little bit. Top 75 pick in 2027, cool. Otherwise, you just keep them. You see what it is. We'll see what it is. But if somebody comes out and says, hey, we'll give you a second round pick for Mac Jones, I'm taking that, boom. For 2027, I'm taking it. You've got to have belief in Curtis Rourke or Adrian Martinez or somebody else out there that you could get, you know, for a cheaper trade. But if somebody offers anybody, I don't even care who it is. I'm not trading Mac Jones in the division. If somebody offers a second round pick moving forward, Mac Jones, I love you. Good luck. It's what it is. Second round pick for Mac Jones, I'm taking it in a heartbeat. In a heart. Appreciate you, Deep Horse. Maybe Brock has trust issues. He sure as hell does. Dude, you remember seeing Jordan Mason just wide open doing this, like freaking wavy, wacky arm guy in the middle, like nobody 20 yards around him. Brock Purdy looks at him and just does this and throws it elsewhere. Big reason why they traded Jordan is Mason is because Brock Purdy wouldn't throw him the ball. Just wouldn't. Won't throw it to Luke Farrell. Brock Purdy will not throw certain people the ball. Just won't. Just won't do it. Whether that's a positive or a negative, it's where it is. Reese, John, is safety your biggest concern with this defense? Yes. Tight end's my biggest concern overall. Running back depth is a concern as well. Yeah, tight end one, safety two. Those were two very, very high concerns heading into the draft. I love George Kittle long term. 32 years old, coming off an Achilles that happened in January. That's crazy to rely on that, not add one single tight end. I like Dunker. He's awesome. Fun guy. Hope he makes this roster. Strong chance. He's way high on this list, by the way. Very, very excited about his future. Tight end one, safety two. But the thing with safety is you have three young bucks. And there are so many safeties out there that you can just pick up off the street that are veteran guys that you could bring in. Niners have done that not once, but twice. See what you have in-house. If it doesn't work out, get somebody off the street. Niners don't value safety like we do. Niners do not value safety like we do. You let an all-pro safety walk. You let an all-pro safety walk. Big brick. I expect Raheem to play a lot more man than zone. Ooh, I disagree there. Will help Green and Brown improve. The pass rush seems like it will be stronger with Bosa. Now, what I will say, Big Brick, is I think Raheem will play more man than we have in the past. I do see that. Yeah, Sorensen played a lot of cover one man. Oh, it was so terrible. It was so terrible. Oh, Pet Rock. Solid played little to none. I want Raheem to play more Tampa 2. I want way more utilizing the zone feel that Fred Warner brings in the communication that helps your safeties. You have the best coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL. Utilize him in that Urlacher role. Come on, baby. Oh, I would love that. And Big Tone, I was talking about Hufanga being a two-time All-Pro. Now getting another one with the Broncos. Also saw the highlight videos. Felt the same way. Sad. Hufanga is one of my favorite players we've ever had. I really hate that that ended, but it's what it is. Jones to the Cardinals for Trey McBride or Josh Sweat. I would trade him for Trey McBride, who I think is probably the best tight end in the NFL. Along with that conversation, George Kittle's the best two-way player tight end, you know, blocking and receiving. Trey McBride is pretty hard to argue he's not the best receiving tight end after what he did last year. I don't want to trade a quarterback in the division, and I don't think the Cardinals want to do this. Cardinals full-on tank mode. They're letting their quarterback hold out right now. They are in full-on tank mode. Don't want to trade a quarterback in the division. I would do it in a heartbeat. My biggest fear that keeps me up at night is the Cardinals getting Arch Manning. That bothers the hell out of me. The Jets or the Dolphins got to suck more than the Cardinals. But then you look at the Jets and the Dolphins play each other twice. The Cardinals are the toughest division in the history of the NFL almost. It just keeps getting better and better. Gosh, I'm so terrified of Arch Manning going to the freaking Cardinals. I really don't want that. I really, really don't want that. Yeah, that's what I mean, John. More man. We've seen that. Yep, well said. Well said. So, yeah, a fun episode. I have to say thanks to Zach, Ben, and Josh, the executive producers of our Roster Countdown series, just freaking working so hard, getting all that stuff set up for us. That's going to do it for us today. You guys are awesome. Hopefully you enjoyed learning about some more of the back end of the roster players. Wesley Grimes, Jalen Graham, Drake Nugent, Eli Apple, and Adrian Martinez. We're going to keep counting these down over the 49ers rush. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.